So, the Eternal City is a painting that Bloom started in 1933, and it's a painting that was the result of his trip to, it was his first trip back to Europe. He had been born in Europe, but he went to Europe in 1932 on a Guggenheim Fellowship. And he went, according to his application, he said he was going to go study fresco painting. He was going to study Giotto and other paintings and things that were still in situ in churches and on walls. But when he got there, he was amazed by what he saw of the impact of Mussolini on contemporary Rome and other places in Italy. Less so, but mostly he was concentrating on Rome and Florence. And Bloom was, I think, taken immediately by the juxtaposition that you have in Italy in so many different places of the modern and the ancient, and historical things, and then new, sometimes new and ramshackle, run-down things. But and Mussolini had leveled neighborhoods and put up these ultra-modern fascist architecture blocks. And so Bloom was interested in that, and he also encountered Mussolini's black shirts, and he said sometimes they were very helpful, like giving him directions around Rome. But he also saw the negative aspects of what they were doing, roughing people up and people being taken off the street. Bloom witnessed a lot of this stuff. And I think that whole experience of watching, seeing a place that seemed like it was frozen in time to some extent, but also had this volatile presence, and also watching these parades and different kinds of processions that were in celebration of Mussolini that you weren't sure if they were forced or if they were genuinely real, and that which was more scary. Bloom was just taken by all this. And so he said he was walking around the ruins of the Roman Forum one day, and the whole picture appeared to him like complete in his mind. He had this vision of this picture, and it combined all these different things that he had seen in Rome, plus images that, you know, he had sort of imagined about what would happen if all this broke down. What if the people sort of challenged the people in power? What would that look like? So there's a drawing called Insurrection that he puts into the picture. There's a Mussolini head coming out of a jack-in-the-box that people thought was out of his imagination, but really is a composite of things he actually saw, like these giant papier-mâché heads of Mussolini that would be carried around Rome. And then an actual shrine with all these weird military things that had been showered on a man of sorrows. All these things Bloom saw and then pieced together. It's an interesting painting, I think, from a standpoint now when people are thinking about Photoshop and of cutting and pasting and that kind of aesthetic, because Bloom took things he had actually witnessed or seen from disparate places and put them together seamlessly in the picture. So you have, you know, the ruins, and you have a shrine that was from an interior of an intact church, but then you have mountains that people read as the Alps, but are actually from Wyoming, from a trip he had taken in 1934 to Wyoming, and then his willow tree from his property in Sherman, Connecticut. So he's putting all these things together and basically taking from reality what he wanted. It's the putting them together that makes them jarring and unexpected. So one of the things that you can see in the exhibition is Bloom's thinking process, and Bloom switching gears and trying new things when the thing he relied on didn't work for him anymore, or he had lost interest in. So one of the places where you can see that very pronounced is in the difference between the drawing style and the process material that led to the Eternal City, and then the material that led into what became the painting The Rock. And so we're talking about the mid-30s, and then we're talking about the mid-40s. So when Bloom worked on the Eternal City drawings, he had something, he had a vision that he wanted to then make tangible for everybody else. So he had a pretty complete idea of what this painting would be in his head, and he made very, very precise, extraordinarily meticulous drawings of that content, which then he repainted into the composition. So he made a very precise drawing, he knew where it was going to go, he made pretty much a copy of that in paint in the picture. And for The Rock, he didn't have any idea for a painting that would be called The Rock, or any of the content for that. It arose out of him, a lot of different sort of things happening in his life that led to him not being able to work, partly out of anxiety, partly because he just wasn't sure he was comfortable doing the kind of painting he had done in The Eternal City anymore. And he was really surprised and disturbed by this inability to work, because he had been working, you know, constantly all of his life. But he was also, to his credit, open to new ways of doing things. So he started working on these automatic drawings, basically drawing without any kind of set idea in mind, spontaneously. And out of doing that, without thinking about quality or thinking about the end result, that gave him a new way of sort of working on drawings that would be from observation. It opened up his style, and through the process of doing that, he wound up drawing these organic shapes and forms, and then drawing things on his land, like a boulder and fungus growing. And then World War II had broken out, and when we were bombed, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, Bloom was listening to news reports about this and seeing AP photographs, probably, of the bombing. And that that instigated a whole series of very, very quick, small sketches inspired by that started to lead him down this other path. So this organic stuff of birth and death and growth in the forest, and then this major event that tipped the scales and made us go into the war, all kind of got confounded together or compounded together and led to a whole suite of drawings that led to the content of The Rock. So instead of, you know, coming up with the idea, realizing it, and then painting it, somehow through all of that, a personal struggle and also a reaction to what was going on in the world, Bloom developed the material that would become The Rock, and then painted that painting. When he started painting the painting, he even sort of was still improvising a little bit. We have photographs of the painting in progress, and there's still whole sections that are not really developed. There's just really quick brushwork. Other sections are developed, and so he's leaving this kind of contingency open, which was completely new for him. But then after that, that's the way he worked for the rest of his life.